You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey everyone, so today's episode of Strictly Hip Hop is going to be a massive discussion on album replay value with Ken Inge of Dead End Hip Hop, as well as two people from the Low Mid podcast, which is also part of the Dead End family. My guys, Ramil and Nemo, join the conversation, and we all sit to discuss album replay value. Where was it historically in hip-hop? Where is it now? And projecting forward this next decade, we are starting to see some of the new stars, Lil Babies, Meg Thee Stallion, the artists of that nature that are seeming to be the next quote-unquote generation of hip-hop. And we're kind of looking at the idea of, does album replay value matter in the streaming era? And to do that, again, we look at the 2000s, we look at the 2010s, the last decade, and we just kind of look at the importance of it. Does it matter in an era where we can just stream anything we want, create playlists, and we're all curators in a sense? It's a very fascinating discussion. It's a very fun discussion. Once again, I want to shout out my friend Josh for talking with me off air. That's what sparked the idea for this conversation that you're hearing, and I was glad that I was able to get together a dope hip-hop panel to discuss this along with some new voices on the podcast. That's always fun. Now, without further ado, before I get the episode started, I want to do some quick housekeeping. Please, if you do not already, follow me on all of the socials, mainly Twitter and Instagram, at Real Chris Platy, CHRISPLATTE. I know you know how to spell real. Give me a follow, I'll follow back. And that's the best way to stay up to date on the content. I do polls on Instagram all the time, on Twitter. I retweet a lot of the headlines. Sometimes I even put out some of my thoughts on albums if I know I'm not going to discuss it on the podcast. So that's the best way to stay in touch with me and to stay up to date on the podcast itself. Now, as far as new content coming, I have some NBA bubble talk coming on the podcast on the Strictly Hoop Talk side of it. And then on Strictly Hip Hop, I'm working on something more secretive. That will probably be later next week. But the NBA bubble podcast will come this week as teams are starting to close down and finish up the seeding games. We talk about the surprise Suns, all sorts of stuff with a very special guest. So I'm very excited to do that. Now, all right, let's kick this podcast off. Strictly Hip Hop album replay value featuring Ken Inge, Ramil, and Nemo of the Low Mid podcast as well. Let's get it. Alright, hello everyone, welcome back to Strictly Hip Hop. As always, I'm your host Chris Platy, and joining me on the podcast today is a longtime guest, Ken Inge of Dead End Hip Hop, but also joining this podcast for the first time, my guys Ramil and Nemo of the Low Mid podcast. How you guys doing?
What's going on? Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks man, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure to have you guys on. I'm excited for this discussion. It's been something that's been sitting with me. Shout out to my boy Josh, who first had the conversation with me about artists and replay value, and just album replay value in specific, and how that matters today. Because sitting through quarantine, we saw that the first half of the year, it started to pick up the last month or so, but the first half of the year, we really saw a lot of artists sit back as the whole world was trying to figure out, you know, the global pandemic, especially the music industry. And so we saw a lot of the bigger commercially viable acts sit out. And that got me thinking, you know, of the idea of just replay value. And does that matter today when artists can just put out a bunch of songs or put out a bunch of projects with short amount of songs, just a wide range of releasing tactics, and everything being streamable and people being able to make their own playlists and Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, all having these already big time curated playlists with millions and millions of followers. So I want to start there. Does the album replay value have value, or does the album replay have value in today's streaming era with all of that I just said? I'll start with you, Ken, who's been in the music the longest of all of us.
I would say yeah, and I think it would probably be more valuable today than in the past, mainly because there's monetization attached to it. There's an economy system built into streaming. So because of that, you would want to, as an artist, have people play your music as much as possible. So I would say there is value in having replay attached to whatever music you release.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And a big thing that also sparked this conversation was looking at Kendrick Lamar set a record earlier this month for now 400 straight weeks on the Billboard for Good Kid, Mad City. That's the longest standing hip hop album on the Billboard of all time in hip hop history.
Wow.
So 400 weeks for Kendrick Lamar and Good Kid, Mad City. And so that got me thinking. So I want to toss it to you guys. Do you guys feel like you guys are my age, so we don't got to give away numbers, but you guys are closer to my age. So how do you feel about artists having replay value? Do you think that that's something that that is helpful today, or do you think it doesn't really matter? Do you think it depends on the type of artist you are? Where do you guys stand? I'll start with you, Ramil.
I think it absolutely matters because, to Ken's point, because of the monetization because of how diverse the monetization is of music now, especially too, like, you definitely want people to have an urge to hear your stuff. Now, I'm interested to know what really are the characteristics of a song or an album that has replay value, because I want to know what makes that a fact or what makes that something that people can define as replay value. But for what it is and for what we know it to be, yeah, I would definitely think that's important, because you definitely want people to have, you know, you want your music to be something that people need to digest, I think. And that people need to be able to take a lot of things from. And so if you're making just, you know, music that doesn't require a whole bunch of replays, to me, maybe it could be a lack of lyrical substance, maybe, or it could be, you know, to me, that if I was an artist and people didn't want to replay my stuff after they heard it, I would think they didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? I would think that it's just down to, I think that's a sign of that you're making quality stuff when people want to hear it over and over again. Now, I know that there may be like a formula to making a song like that, but I still think that it just, like, because some people that replay songs over and over again don't necessarily listen to those songs that have that traditional mainstream formula. So I would definitely say it's still highly important.
Okay, you stumbled on, you brought up something really good that I want to get to in determining album replay value. I want to dive into that a little bit more. And then also just looking at the artists of the last 10 years that really do have album replay value, and some that maybe are bigger acts that don't necessarily have that on the opposite end of the spectrum. But Nemo, I want you to jump in first before we get to that part and just your overall thoughts on album replay value and if it is important in this, in today's climate of streaming and playlisting.
Man, it's definitely important, especially since we're in an age where music is so accessible. You know, we have artists dropping every day now. There's a new artist every day now. And if you think back to the back in the day when you would buy a record, of course you would play it all the way through, but now with music being so much more accessible, of course the average listener is going to have a larger palette to choose from, you know what I'm saying? So you definitely want your music to stick around, and this is definitely important for the artist to make the music that will stick around.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think there's certain cases though, when I was looking at artists, just I was going through my library and looking at all of the artists where particularly album replay value might not have the most importance to them, and we'll get to that in a second. But let's look at the question that Ramil posed, and I really like that of what determines album replay value. So for you, Ken, I'll go back to you to start this. What determines album replay value for you? Is it just the lyrics? Is it the substance? Is it just how it sounds? Is it everything? Is it the sequencing? What of an album just really gets you to, makes you want to actually throw that on when we're in an era where we can play any song we've ever wanted in the history of the universe?
I would definitely say that I would start with sound. It's one of the first things that I pay attention to when I put on a new album. And then after that, it gets into like the substance of the music itself, if there's any there. And of course, obviously that's artist dependent, but if the substance is on point and there's a narrative or there's some type of concept to the album, then that increases the replay value for me as well. If there's a lot of things in there that I don't know about that requires additional research or things that I would like to learn about, that increases the replay value there. And I think just trying to always just being able to discover something new each time you listen to it that you didn't discover before. You know, there's sometimes a bass line will hit different, or a snare would sound different, or a lyric will stand out. And all of that is directly tied to the artist and sometimes the producer. So for me, those are the qualitative things that I look for when it comes to replay value. Right now, younger, it would depend on, you know, the contest. Like, am I out hanging out with my homies, and, you know, are we playing like some ignorant shit? You know, because sometimes they have more heady stuff you know, you play for yourself. But, you know, back in the day when I used to go out all the time, it was Jeezy. And then it was, prior to that, it was No Limit and stuff like that. So those are the type of songs that you, or the music that you play when you're around your boys. And you want to play what's dope. So when it comes to stuff like that, it's definitely beat, hook, like the excitability of it, how it relates to what's going on in the current environment. Is it something that everybody's playing and if it's banging? So those things. So then it becomes like, I don't know if culturally relevant is the word, but I think that's it. Like it documents put a timestamp on the moment that you're currently living in.
Yeah, that's a good point. And before I toss it to Ramil and Nemo, I want to just jump in because I think that what I had written down kind of falls in line with some of what you were saying. And that, you know, to me, I love having playlists. Like I like having the ability to throw on playlists. And there's just something I find myself often when a playlist comes on, I like to throw it on shuffle because I like to have it leave up to chance, but then at the same time, when I leave it up to chance, I get very picky about the results of, okay, like why, even if I like all the songs in the playlist, you know, like I don't want this song to follow that song. So I like the idea of an album, because an album, which may only be one artist, but that album is sequenced with an intentional order. And if it's a great album, it has a connective feeling, not just in content, but just sonically speaking. So I think that kind of speaks to me what a big holder of album replay value is and why it still has value, because how many times do I don't know about you guys, but I have a master playlist of like my 900 favorite songs of all time, which are just like my favorite. If I was trapped on an island and could never listen to any new music again, this is what I had. But I'll be honest with you, you know, like of those 900 songs, I love them all to death, but I'm not when something comes on and I hit shuffle, I might skip it, even though I love it, because it's just the way it followed whatever song, the mood I'm in. Yeah. So I want to toss it to you guys. I just wanted to get that point in there. Go ahead.
I mean, yeah, man, I think, of course, man, like we, you know what I'm saying? You might love ice cream, but you don't want to eat it all the time. You know, like it's the same thing with that. And to Ken's point, I like Ken's point of environment playing a huge factor in which replay. Absolutely. Because let's be honest, like I'm not replaying DaBaby really on my own too much, but if I'm in a lit situation, then I might play him.
Right.
Or, you know what I'm saying? Same thing with like, and I do play him a lot, but like, it's like, what, because I have certain songs that are like, you know, I have certain songs from whole different genres that I play back more probably than a lot of his stuff, you feel me? Mm-hmm. So I think that when it comes to replay value, I look for definitely sound. And for me, more specifically, as far as sound, song structure, which is really what kind of helps a song be like a song. You know what I'm saying? Like the placement of certain choruses, or, you know, how quickly a person comes in after this verse, you feel me? Or like the energy of the song, I guess, in total, is what really draws me in. And I would say, like, I think honestly, that is probably one of, like, I'll just use him as an example. Kanye is like one of the best examples of that. Like, so he's not like the best technical rapper or whatever, but his song structure and his atmosphere of songs makes it so good. You feel me? So I think that, and that he has a whole bunch of fucking replay value. So that's what I think, what I look for is like production and then the lyrics, of course. Like, but for Kendrick songs, I think like when I'm more in a lyrical mood, I'm more likely to want to hear lyrical music. Whereas just if it sounds good, if it's in the category of it just sounding so good, it has more of a chance to be replayed more frequently than if I hear like some stuff that I hear when I'm in a certain mood. You feel me?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, I hope that made sense.
Yeah, it does. Let's go to Nemo. Nemo, what are your thoughts on album replay value? What determines it for you?
Well, first of all, I wanted to touch on one of your points about the 900 song playlist. See, I couldn't do that. See, I need my playlist to be like more organized and filmy, because, you know, 900 songs, that'll make me want to skip it too much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I need every song to hit. You feel me?
Yeah. That's one of like, that's one of many for me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's like my, I have a library of like 50,000 songs. So that, so like that 900 is really like the, you know, like the 1% or the, I'm suck at math, but you get what I'm saying. So that's kind of where that comes in. I have much more like, you know, 40 song playlists and things like that that are more tailored to, you know, like all of that. But yeah, just generally speaking, you know, that kind of when I can throw on my master playlist, it could take me out when I go from, you know, Benny the Butcher to Lionel Richie. You know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
It's just like the transition there is not as smooth as you would think. So go ahead, Nemo.
Well, I feel you on that, Daniel. Well, I guess I haven't reached that point yet. But anyways, to answer your question, I feel like for an album to have replay value for me, it has to have a certain atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? It has to have a consistent atmosphere. It has to, the artist has to be, you know, he has to pull me into their world. You know what I'm saying? I have to feel very immersed into their world. Now, whether the atmosphere is movie-like or whether if it's consistent, then that's it. And as far as the content, I really just want the content to be authentic to the artist. It really just depends on whatever artist I'm listening to, because for me, I feel like I like to adapt to different type of artists. So with that being said, and as far as like when I'm putting together my playlist, I like to find a whole bunch of songs from an album and just put them in their order, and just when I'm listening to my playlist, I'm just listening to like mini albums like consecutively. You know what I'm saying?
That's interesting.
Yeah. I was
so gonna, that way, like, I'm just stuck in their environment for like a brief time.
Yeah. And I think that goes to speaking on what I brought up earlier, and the idea of when you do have such a crazy massive playlist that you could be drawn out by too much diversity, where you kind of want to get where a song comes on and it kind of wants to take you to that world, so you kind of stop and you visit an album rather than continue with the playlist. So that's interesting that you do that. I've never thought of doing that with my actual playlist.
Yeah.
Just, I wanted to ask you guys, have you guys ever, and this is for all of you, all three of you, have you guys ever put together a playlist, but kind of had an idea of, like, you put together this playlist as a design for, or maybe this is what playlists are for, maybe, but like, you put the playlist as a design for, like, maybe this is what I would want if I were to do like a debut album, this is what I would want it to sound like. Like, did y'all ever create a playlist with like, I would want like maybe the hype stuff. Like, have y'all ever done that before?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm one of the things I've done is I've actually started to use my Instagram and my Twitter and all that to say, hey, if anybody wants me to make them an individual playlist of songs that based off of what I know about you, and the music that you like and what I think you would like, you know, let me know. And so cool. I've enjoyed really trying to curate to other people's individual tastes and show them new things, because I love sharing music. And also I've kind of done something not along the debut album line, but more so along the lines of like creating a playlist of like, I'll take Kendrick songs or Travis songs or Cole songs, and I'll make a playlist of like 20 J. Cole records or 12 J. Cole records or whatever. And then I'll try to just randomly, and then I'll try to sequence them to make them kind of make sense, just because I enjoy sequencing really much. So that's like something I do in my free time. But yeah, that's kind of the closest I come to like the debut album thing, which is interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start doing that, because I have so many playlists.
Oh, yeah. I have over 100. And I know this is about album replay value. But Ken, are you really much of a playlist guy, or do you really just throw on albums?
I'm an album guy. And I guess what I do is I go through albums and I take certain songs and then I move them over into playlist. And from there, I would play those in certain situations. But every morning, you know, when I go to work or when I wake up, I spend about 10 and 15 minutes and I go to my Ken's favorite songs playlist or my favorite songs playlist and just push shuffle and then and listen to those, and then filter those out into like Dead End Jazz and Dead End Classic Soul and, you know, Dead End whatever, those individual playlists that are separated by genre and stuff like that. But what I do is that, and that's why I think just where replay value comes in is because you take those albums that have replay value in them, baked in them, and you identify, for me, I identify the songs, the top 4 or 5 star songs that I like.
Yeah.
I mark them in Apple Music as 4 or 5 songs for, you know, with that star. And then it automatically moves it to favorite songs playlist. And then when I just want to hear some random stuff, I'll push that. And then it's playing songs from albums that have high replay value for me. So it kind of automated the whole process. So, but yeah.
All right. Let's kind of jump into the idea of just artists of this generation, looking at the last like 10 years or so. Cause I feel like, right now, I said this before we started recording, but I feel like it's shifting. The generation is changing. The little babies, the babies are coming up, and you know, there's rumors of J. Cole retiring and all of that. So it seems like we might be in the process of changing of guard, at least in hip hop. So let's look at the artists of the last 10 years, and then kind of based on what we gather from that, kind of look forward at today's artists, the little babies, the babies, all that. And who are some of the artists that just come to mind of the last 10 years that really have high replay album value? And for me, I mean, what popped to my mind first was Kendrick and Kanye. And Kanye was obviously 2000s leading into the 2010s, more so, at least as far as his album replay value goes. But Kendrick of this last generation, I think Schoolboy Q, I think Travis, I think some of Jay-Z's albums, Freddie Gibbs is someone who stands out to me as well. Game and Rick Ross. I mean, who are some of the artists that come to mind for you when it comes to replay value? I'll open the floor to anyone who wants to start this.
You forgot one name that I thought about instantly, but I'm kind of shocked that you didn't mention him.
And who's that?
Drake.
See, to me, he doesn't.
Yeah. He doesn't have replay value to you?
His albums don't. Like, he's a guy. With Drake, here's my thing. I actually charted this out one time. It was funny. I was talking with some of my coworkers and I said, you know, man, I only returned to most albums of Drake outside of Nothing Was the Same is So Far Gone. I only returned to like four or five songs max. And so, you know, if you chart that out when you're looking at albums that are usually Drake albums are like 20 songs, then in reality, you're looking at, you know, 25%, 20%, 30% of the album you're returning to. So for me, I wouldn't necessarily deem that an album with high replay value because I'm not putting on that album. I'm putting the songs from it on there. And to me, Drake, with the fact that he releases albums every year, I mean, he doesn't really, for the most part, obviously, he doesn't really give you a chance to breathe and have that album replay value, where somebody like Kendrick or J. Cole, who I also didn't mention, have usually albums that come out, there's years between them. So that to me kind of shapes it against Drake personally, but I'm open to your disagreements on that.
No, it's just, okay. So let's say this, right? Let's say like, so you're basically saying more specifically albums that have, you listen to the album sequentially over and over and over again.
I mean, not necessarily, but I mean, can I throw on like 80% of 60% okay, yeah. of this album okay. and, so, yeah. and enjoy it?
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. Yeah, I definitely would have to disagree with his earlier work. I think it had, Take Care for sure has replay value. And I think that's still his.
Yeah, I like about half. Of
yeah, Care. See, like out of how many songs was that? I don't think.
I think it was like 18 or 20.
18 or 20 songs. Yeah, I think out of about 18 or 20 songs, I maybe liked about maybe 14 or 15 of them. But okay. That's, which is about what you said. So, yeah, I think that his earlier work had, and then again, like, I mean, I think to Thank Me Later, I think a lot of his general songs that he puts out have replay value. So if we're talking about his albums, I would agree with you more
okay.
on his later work, but I would just say I would say he's shown he can have replay value with his earlier work. Mm-hmm. Although I would argue that he's definitely not maintained it all the way through.
Absolutely.
But I would say just with his earlier work, I think that's where he proved he could have it, although he hasn't really had too much of it since like maybe 2013, really. Maybe 2014, but at least for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Nemo, Ken, you want to jump in?
I'm still thinking, but right now I got Logic. His earlier projects had replay value. That's a fact. I would say Earl Sweatshirt, his projects had replay value. Well, not his most recent one, but definitely some rap songs. And let me think, what's the other one that had a lot of it? I think I Don't Like Shit, I Don't Go Outside definitely had replay value, at least for me. Let me think. Ramil, you know I'm missing somebody.
What about Tyler?
Tyler, I mean, he has replay value, but then again, he has a hardcore fan base.
I think his replay value has gotten better over his last three albums.
I would agree with that.
I would agree too. But I was thinking of Goblin. You know, that one wasn't really all that good. And You know, he I was just thinking of his immature mistakes, basically. But I would definitely agree. Igor, definitely, for me, is definitely his that's definitely his best project, yeah, for sure. Wolf is my personal favorite.
Yeah.
I like Flowerboy the best, personally. Ken, who are some of the artists that you find yourself, since you seem to be the one that listens to albums the most of us, who are some of the artists of the last 10 years that would stand out to you in terms of album replay value, where you throw their albums on?
Drake would be... No, I'm just playing.
You knew that was coming.
I mean, you know, you have your go-to guys like Kendrick Lamar, Schoolboy Q. You know, mm-hmm. I believe they can be easily named. I'll give you Scarface, who probably has the best discography in hip hop.
RTJ?
Yeah, Run the Jewels. Definitely.
And hell yeah.
We can do Ka. Ka's work is extremely dope. Rock Marciano's most recent work is extremely dope. Billy Woods, Arm & Hammer, when they drop a project. Who else I got?
You like Bodie James?
I do. Most of his later stuff I do. His earlier stuff when he was finding himself was cool. But his later stuff is much, much better.
Okay, I agree.
And there was somebody else. Odyssey. I don't know if I mentioned.
Oh yeah, love Odyssey. Yeah.
Damn near all his stuff has high replay value.
Okay.
I definitely agree with Freddie too, by the way.
Yeah, Freddie for sure.
Like, yeah, what about I'm gonna throw one more name.
Well, there's two names that I have here. Okay. That I think are interesting, and that's Travis Scott and Mac Miller. Like, what? To me, Travis Scott, I think, has good, very good replay value.
He does. He definitely does.
I think when we talk about earlier about atmospheres, about creating that environment, and Astroworld, what he did with the no features, while that wasn't the first time that was ever done, it made the first album listen such a memorable experience.
Oh, even you mean not listing the features in the title?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. And like things like that, and then also just the way the album felt, the way they each song flowed, and each song changed at some point throughout the song. And then Mac Miller's an artist that really had an interesting career throughout it, starting off as just a kind of a lyrical pop-ish rapper, and then kind of developing and finding his own sound in his own way. Do either of those two artists with any of you guys have album replay value?
I would say definitely Astroworld and Travis. Mm-hmm.
For me, Mac Miller's mixtape. What was that mixtape with the yellow cover? No Faces.
Faces. Yeah.
That was definitely my favorite mixtape from Mac Miller. And that was a very long one. 24 songs, and I still like about 21 of them.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm not a huge Mac Miller fan. I didn't really listen to him much. I was on him like when he first came out. Like I heard like Donald Trump, and I remember I'm talking about early. Like I remember when he first dropped Donald Trump, and then I went and checked out like maybe his first mixtape. And I listened to what was his posthumous release? Was it Circles?
Yep.
I liked that. So, but like that was. I didn't really follow him like that in between, so I can't really say whether I think he has replay value or not. But definitely Travis, man. Travis had replay value before Astroworld. It just kind of skyrocketed after Astroworld because that kind of put him on a whole nother level.
Yeah, Rodeo and Birds also have.
Yeah, that was already good. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That was already good. So like, and I think 302.10, and I think like Butterfly, like when he dropped the single, was like everywhere. And like even like what was it, Birds in a Trap? Like that was like his first tape, right? Was that like
Birds in a Trap was his second album. That was after Rodeo.
After Rodeo, okay, yeah. So yeah, man, I think Travis is a good example of somebody who has replay value, and especially
with his, he has a I think a modern classic in Astroworld, so especially that album.
But, yeah, I think he's an album artist.
Yeah, he definitely is. Because Astroworld feels like one amusement park trip, like a day.
Yeah, 100%. Names that I brought up that I heard a little bit. So Schoolboy Q and Rhapsody to me are also artists that have very high replay value. I think Rhapsody's last two albums are incredible, and then Schoolboy Q to me is very underrated in this discussion, because I think when it comes to albums and we're just looking at purely, if you're just ranking an artist solely on their albums, not their commercial success, whatever, Schoolboy Q has quite the catalog. I know I wasn't the biggest Crash Talk guy, and I still am not. I still don't think that's that great of a body of work, but Blank Face and Oxymoron are albums that are just, you talk about the sequencing, you talk about just the production, Schoolboy Q's writing. I mean, those are incredibly, incredibly high album replay values for me.
I would agree. I'm definitely glad you brought up Rhapsody, man, because I've been telling people about her for like a long, well, you mean female or which one? Because it's two.
Rhapsody, yeah, the female.
Okay, yeah, her album before this one was Layla's Wisdom, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And that was amazing. That just has great classic sounding music. Like, that's just, I don't even know how else to describe it, but it's just kind of like, just general feel good music that could go across all walks of life. Like, it's kind of just that music that, in my perception, is like, I mean, of course, it's very much, you know, out Black culture and very much, you know, African American traditional music and soul music and jazz and all that great stuff. And that's the type of music that I think across all dramas, that's just kind of universally sounding music. And so she has a lot of samples of like that in her songs. In her last album, I think I actually like her last album more.
I do too.
I think it has more replay value. So I would most definitely say she has replay value. Eve, right? So
yeah,
I would definitely, because I downloaded every song off that album,
and
I
loved
every song. So I mean, yeah, she's definitely somebody who I say is, you know, she's on the. I think when she blows, she's gonna blow, and I think that she will. And I'm glad that she's getting the recognition that she deserves now, because she's definitely a great rapper and with great replay value.
Yeah, I mean, I could go on a whole nother tangent about Eve and how I think that album should get a lot more support than it does. But one of the things, so we haven't mentioned some big names here, and I think that's because they fall into the other side of album replay value, the opposite end of spectrum. What about the high volume artists, the Young Thug, the Futures, the Gucci's, Currency, you know, the artists that release very, very frequently? You know, you're talking with Future, you're talking multiple times a year usually. Thug, he slowed down the last couple of years, but before that was on pace of dropping, you know, a couple projects a year. Gucci, we all know, drops every other week, and Currency as well. Artists with this, with that high amount of volume, do you guys think that album replay value matters to them, or no, because you can just essentially create a playlist of your 30 favorite Future songs and call it a day? Or same with Gucci, Thug, whoever.
I would have to agree with you on that. I don't think they really care about, you know, making like the perfect environmental album. I think with them, like you just said, they're just the type of artist where you just make a playlist of their best songs, and there you have it.
Ken, how do you feel about that, about the high volume artists?
I looked at it as a hustle. It's the Lil Wayne model. That's how Lil Wayne got on, and I think it speaks to a little bit of the streaming era that we are in, because it's a way for them to generate money one way or the other. But for the most part, that stuff is microwavable, fast food. You know, it's going to go in one ear and out the other, or, you know, through the mouth and out the other way. So, you know, it doesn't really do much for you, because there is a little sustenance there. But and I think somewhat to a detriment for hip hop overall, but because other people try to mirror those successes, if that's what we want to call them. But nevertheless, I think that guys like Thug, I ain't gonna talk about Gucci, but definitely Thug. And I actually messed with Thug. But I think they just try to take advantage of just the streaming era and the Spotify and, you know, stuff along those lines.
Go ahead.
Oh, my bad. I would agree. I think it's I think that those artists are definitely counting on people to create playlists for their music because they make music so frequently. I think that they take an entirely different approach to music than artists who release albums differently. Like, I think for them, I think part of their mentality is like, nobody's gonna outwork me. You understand? Mm-hmm. So I think that to that degree, like, I think DaBaby kind of has just demonstrated this kind of problem where I think it hurts album replay value because I don't go back and listen to all those damn Young Thug albums. You know what I'm saying? Like, all the time. Like, that's just way too much to do. And neither do I do have a Future. Some of Future's mixtapes I've never even heard all the way through. You know, like, it's just because you're releasing music entirely too often. So, like, the shit that I like from Future that I have, I mean, it's a lot of it because I was up on him really before he became like as big as he is now, like back when, like, we're talking about Dirty Sprite and like Astronaut Status, really, Future. But like, when he's become mainstream now, he definitely, like, that shit definitely hurts, I think, your album replay value, artists who release music too frequently, like, because it gives us so much to digest that we're not all able to focus in on something that, like, you know, I'm trying to see if I like this and then you gave me this. But since it's new, I feel like I gotta go check out this new shit, but I didn't really digest your previous shit like that. So,
do you think that it also could be that that music just doesn't have that value and the label knows.
Yeah. You're talking about
and
the actual,
they have to.
Saying that their actual brand and style of music is not really that long lasting. It's fast food, to Nemo's point, like to Nemo's metaphor earlier. Like, a lot of that stuff, I think they are kind of, a lot of that stuff is fast food because they make it within a couple of days and they just kind of throw it on the internet. You feel me? So
a couple minutes.
Thank you. Like, I heard Thug and Future record like in an hour. Like, you know what I'm saying? We talk about mixtapes here. So yeah, I think that definitely is a part of the reason why they don't have replay values because they're just the actual quality lyrically, production wise, you didn't take time to curate that. So you rust, it's kind of just, you know, fast food, and it may taste good in the moment, but long term it's not really that good for you. So I would agree.
Okay, now let's pull back the scope now that we named a lot of people, and I'm sure there's other people that fall into categories, because look, I mean, you can name a lot of artists that have one album that has good replay value, but does that mean that artist has great replay value, album replay value, if they've released 10 projects and one or two of them you have good replay value? So let's kind of broaden the scope back and go back to last decade, to the 2000s, which I kind of mentioned earlier, kicking off when I was talking about Kanye as one of the all-time greatest to me in hip-hop when it comes to album replay value.
Absolutely.
And Ken, I want to start here. Now, I know this is a tough question because there's so many artists and hip hop is even more diverse in its different pockets and all of that today than it was even 10 years ago. But do you feel just by listening to all the names that we named and kind of thinking back to the 2000s, do you think that there are more or less artists with album replay value? And do you think that that's kind of reflective of the times of it being just the streaming and playlist and curating era?
I think it's less. You know, people play the algorithm game. We could trace that back to the blogosphere era where they were naming songs after celebrities, because they were trying to take advantage of SEO and people search for it. Of course, their name will pop up out of curiosity. Maybe they'll listen to it, maybe they won't. So because of that, you had a period where they were chasing singles, which you can also trace back to the early 2000s, where singles were really, really big, and they were basically using singles to sell whole albums because they stopped selling singles in stores. And that's how we actually ran into a problem where music as a whole became less pleasant for a lot of people to listen to because they were paying for albums that only had one song that they liked on it. So there was a rebellion by music consumers. Then you get into, you know, the mid-2000s where you had the ringtone rap era. So that was, you know, like the evolution of singles to that point, and people were making music for that. But you could probably trace all the way back to where we are now. But in the middle of that, that's when you had these other rappers come out. Like, you had 50 Cent, you had, you know, the Clips were around that time, Dipset were huge, The Game, and all these guys made names for themselves, but they did that by dropping albums and by dropping a lot of mixtapes in their time. So they're flooding the streets with their product. Mm-hmm. And then technology evolved, and then here we are now. But I think after that, then you went to the blogosphere era, and then out of that you get Drake, Wale, Currency, who started way back in the early 2009, late 90s, and Meek Mill and all these other guys. And that evolved to, of course, Spotify, and we're basically in this tech world of music. So for me, I think, having said all of that, that middle part of the 2000s is where you have a lot more quality products, quality albums to listen to. And then I think on the outside of those, the exterior of those, you had those singles, ringtone eras, and then the SEO era as well. So nowadays, because those two eras were so beneficial to those artists and helped them get recognized and get on, and now you add in this third part where they can make money off streaming and playlists, you have people playing to three different sides of music consumption. And that's why you have albums today that has less replay value.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. I think definitely that there are artists with replay value today that we identify. But for the most part, when you look at the biggest names, I mean, we named Future, Young Thug, and those are two artists that are two of the bigger names. You know, they're not Drake, Kendrick, or Cole, but they're in probably around that next tier.
Under them.
Right. So, and those are artists that we identified having pretty much little to zero album replay value. Yeah. So I think that it shows, versus when you're looking at the 2000s, who can we name from the any point in the 2000s that didn't have great replay value but was of that tier in terms of popularity as an artist? I mean, there's not many names that come to mind. I mean, you think of the 2000s, you think of Kanye, you think of Jay-Z, you think of Nas, you think of 50 Cent, Eminem, mm-hmm. you think of Outkast early, you think of Lil Wayne, mm-hmm. Jay-Z, I think I mentioned. So you think of those names, and none of those artists you would put, that I just named, you would say have none. Even Wayne, who released at a very prolific rate, he had the Carter 2 and the Carter 3 and some bodies of work that very much have album replay value.
Right.
So I don't think that there's many artists that we can name from the 2000s that really were as big as Future and Young Thug are that don't have or have even little album replay value.
We're talking about Nelly. We're talking about his crew that came through that had Chingy, guys like that. Eminem was still big back then, but no, and the music started to deteriorate, and that's when Nas came out with Hip Hop Is Dead, and people started to talk, you know, down on the music, the quality of music as a whole. So yeah, you're right.
But doesn't that also usually, people always usually connect that to when hip hop became very corporatized? So is that a reason why maybe the general decline in hip hop has occurred, like at the mainstream level, do you think?
Yeah, there is a correlation there, especially when you had guys, just going back a little bit further, like MC Hammer, mm-hmm. Vanilla Ice, mm-hmm. Tone Loc, Rex and Effect. So you had guys that were making very formulaic, radio-friendly songs that were making a lot of money because the corporation realized that there was a profit in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it pretty much pushed the more high-quality stuff that were at one point getting a lot of replay value and were playing on the radio, it pushed them to the bottom.
Yeah, gotcha. They
were not playing that stuff in the clubs like that anymore.
Got you. I agree.
I would agree with that. Now let's take it all the way back and close with this, or all the way forward, I should say, I guess, and look at the artists that we have kind of coming up and defining this new generation, or what we think is the start of a new defining rap generation. You have Meg Thee Stallion, you have Lil Baby, you have DaBaby, you have a lot of people talk about Gunna, so we can throw him in there. I'm just naming names to name them. But you look at that crop of artists that's on the rise and looking to come to fruition and kind of set up to be that next generation. And also a lot of people throw YBN Cordae into that as well. How, if we look at, if we acknowledge that from the 2000s to the 2010s, that we all would agree that there's some sort of decline in album replay value being critical to the success of an artist. It still plays a role in a lot of artists. But we do have some artists that have made it to extremely high highs without having much quote unquote album replay value. So projecting that another 10 years from now, when we're in 2030, and hopefully we don't have a pandemic or any of this stuff going on that's going on now, do we look back and do we think we see even less album replay value than we had in this last decade?
I think we'll see more. Go ahead, Nemo.
Potentially we will.
I think there is a trend of a certain type of hip hop that is coming back into the common listener, I think. And I think that I don't know if I have that perception just because that's what I like to listen to, but I definitely think that there is, you know, a return of what would be considered authentic, you know, hip hop making a return back to more of the mainstream consciousness. And that's
because I have to agree with you.
You have to agree or disagree?
Agree.
Yeah. So, and one name I noticed you didn't mention, and I think he's interesting, Childish Gambino. I would have to say that I think I would think at least three of his projects got some pretty damn good replay value.
I would agree with that, yeah.
And I think that he's because we see him in so many other things like movies and stuff and TV shows and shit. He's such a multi-talented person, but like his music career is by itself. Like if he was just known for music, he would have had a pretty damn successful music career. So yeah. I think that he's somebody who I think that I would mention as somebody who's having high replay value. And to answer this last question about leading into the future, somebody, although he said he's retiring the name Childish Gambino, I don't know if that means he'll necessarily stop making music. But even if he stops making music, up until this point, he's definitely been one of the pioneers of this new generation of ours that has showed great music quality that equals great album replay quality. So, I mean, I think he's, but I honestly think we slept on him a little bit in this conversation. I think that, like, as far as replay value, he definitely is in the conversation for a big name who has that.
Rondell. Yeah. Tell me who has he pioneered?
Bruh, who has he pioneered? Yes. What you mean? Like, who has he inspired?
Yes.
Childish, bruh, like, there are
give me a prominent artist today that is inspired by Childish Gambino. Because I know his music is good, but I don't know about him pioneering anything.
I mean, I I don't know any specific artists like that are coming up under him that I know of, but I don't follow that many like artists that young anyway. I follow mainly artists like that are around his age. and his peer. Well,
who would you say has music that sounds like his?
Not too many, which is why I think his albums have replay value, because he's very experimental. And like, I think that when people, I think he tries to give you an experience with an album. Like, he's not just trying to, you know, give you something, like he's trying to give you like an artistic experience. And like to, I think Chris mentioned this earlier, that's a part of the atmosphere of an album, which, you know, like what we were talking about earlier. So like, I think that as far as like just his atmosphere and the song structure and stuff like that, which I equated earlier to having, to equaling great replay value, he has those two things. So in my opinion, so like, I think that's why he has replay value. And his peers, like from, you know, he has his Drake and Chance the Rapper and like, you know, all those type of people, like they have, you know, admitted to like being inspired by his work and admitted that he's a great artist. So yeah, I'll have to throw him in that conversation.
Chance is another name we didn't mention, and I think that was for good reason.
His last album was, I mean, even though I didn't particularly think it was super terrible like everybody else did, but like because of just how generally poorly received it was, he's not going to be in that. But Coloring still, Books. I don't know. It's still kind of weird because he has a couple really good projects. So
I'm not that big on acid rap, but I think Coloring Book is phenomenal.
Oh man, acid rap is the shit.
Oh wow, honestly, Coloring Book was my first impersonation of Chance, and when I went back to acid rap, I actually liked acid rap better. But yeah, Coloring Book was a very good project.
It was a good project though. It was good. Which is, you know, yeah, he's like the Big Day to me was like generally all right, because I liked some of the songs on there, like, but, and I didn't really mind him talking about his wife, but it's just like, I think he maybe could have just explained their love story a little bit more detailed wise, like it could have made it more interesting.
Yeah, like that, okay. And that was my thing with it, without rehashing the entire
met, and like what was, I would have been interested to hear like maybe how y'all met and like more of like on some like, mm-hmm. I don't know, it was just like. Again, I love that you love your wife, but I mean, and then sonically, some of that stuff was just really poppy. And then, you know, so that's what hurt him, I think, in this conversation.
100%. So, Ken, I want to toss it to you, though. You said you started kicking off with the question that we're on, in that artists going forward in the next generation, this coming generation, the next 10 years or so of hip hop, you think that they're. That there could be more album replay value. And why is that?
Trends. I think the up and coming artists will take note of what's working today and mirror that. And, you know, it sometimes takes these trends years to manifest themselves, these artists to build up a name and a following. But I think that given where we are and given the history of how music has gone, people tend to follow what works. And if people are paying more attention to album projects as a whole and less to the singles, then you'll start to see more of that. And, you know, I feel like when Drake dropped that so-called playlist album, you didn't see, I felt like I didn't see many people kind of follow and try to mirror that. Felt I seen more people try to put out more
original albums.
Yeah, well thought out albums. Now, there is one thing that I'm paying attention to now as we have this conversation that could alter that, and that's Griselda, because they're putting out something every other week, it seems like.
Yeah.
But also they have, I think what people are missing with them is that they have the talent to be able to put out that amount of work and still maintain that level of quality and high replay value. And then there 100%. Are a couple of artists like Benny the Butcher that do take their time with their work. So, you know, I think that as we move forward and people put more attention into the artistry and the concepts and the ideas, you'll start to see people put out more albums that has replay value for the end consumer.
Well, I sure hope so. I sure hope so, because we're looking at, you know, I mean, if album replay value returns to be a thing among, and not that it's not a thing, so I don't want to I dismissed the last statement because I don't want to make it sound like it's non-existent. We established that it does exist, and that most of the biggest acts do have some level of album replay value. So, but I'm saying that if album replay value does become as important as it was in the last couple generations of hip hop, then I think that bodes well, because at the end of the day, I think that makes artists push for quality over quantity, and quality over quantity is going to be great, because even if you have quality and not quantity, you can still make your own playlist, and it doesn't have to be 960 songs or whatever the hell I got going on with my shit. So I'm very excited to look forward to see what these artists do. You know, YBN Cordae is somebody I think that going forward, I think he's somebody that could be of the album artist style. Versus I'm very curious to see where Lil Baby and DaBaby go, if DaBaby slows down, if he chills out. Meg Thee Stallion seems like she's probably pushing towards some sort of album artist. I could see her being in the Cardi B mold of someone that releases once every 2 years with a big amount of records. And yeah. You know, from there, I think it's very interesting to see. I'm very interested to see, especially what Lil Baby does, because he's on fire right now. And so I'm very curious to see if he's gonna drop a lot, or if he's gonna take his time and really wait his turn and create quality, focus on creating albums with replay value, as opposed to getting out hot songs and maintaining the charts all year.
Yeah, good point. I'm interested to see as well. And I guess with the current wave of rappers, the DaBabies, Lil Babies, Gunnas, YBN Cardae's, DaBaby just put out something the other day, like yesterday.
Yeah.
But he, I don't know, man. I think that, like I said, I hope that we do get to see an increase in album quality. And like I said, since there are so many artists now, if certain artists start dropping less, it's not like we're going to be, you know, there's plenty of music to go around.
Yeah.
So we're not going to be starving just because somebody, but also I think also to that point, artists feel the need to drop every more often to stay relevant, because there's so many music now. So you can be easily forgotten too. So that go down to just how as impactful your music is when you do drop it. And I think that's the best mark of any artist, is that no matter when I drop, it's going to make a big splash. And that to me is where I think I would want to be as an artist, and where I think every artist like is most comfortable. So I hope that the albums get better.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to be Kendrick Lamar and have an album on the Billboard 200 for 400 weeks. Like, and I'm just give me that career any day of the week.
Right.
I'll take it. All right, gentlemen, this has been a very, very fun podcast. I've really enjoyed this discussion. I really enjoy sitting here. I really enjoy coming up with these kind of concepts for podcasts, specifically on the hip hop side of my podcast. I want to thank you all for tuning into the podcast, and I want to thank you all, my three guests, Ramil, Nemo, and Ken, for all coming on the podcast. All of their links in their descriptions, their social media handles, the links to their podcasts, all of that will be in the description. So go check them out. I'm fans of all the content that they do. And gentlemen, I look forward to having you all back on the podcast again.
All right, man. Thank you so much, man. Thank you for listening, too.
Yep. Appreciate you having me through, Chris.
Enjoy. Always.
Great conversation.
Yeah, thank you, man. It was a good conversation.
Always, gentlemen. My pleasure. And I'll be talking to all of you guys soon.
All right, man. Later. See you guys.
Peace.
Take care.